measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
On the second.
When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fail, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains calm, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
On the last.
Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry,
nor could the throne
contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Good man, good singing.
Praise God. All right, just a few announcements. This Friday is our father-son camping trip. And if you've never gone with us, we have a blast. We've done it now for the past several years. And let me encourage you, men, it doesn't have to be, you know, father-son per se. Men and boys, basically what it amounts to. Come out, and what a great time we'll have. To have some devotionals. Bring your food. Just bring, all you got to bring is, first of all, 18 and up, $10. Amen. Apart from that, bring your food and whatever sleeping stuff you might need, and we'll just camp out. We'll have a fire for the food and stuff. Some people even bring the little cookers and what have you. But just come. We'll have a great time, a great day on Friday. Plan to leave. By the way, I'll take care of this in a moment. But we need to know if you need a ride, so we can plan on a bus or the van or whatever we might need that way. But we'll plan to leave and be at the campground by about 4, maybe 4:30 or so. Get our tent set up. We'll spend the night there. The next day, we'll get up and just kind of meal around, have some devotions, and play some softball. Pastor wins. Amen. Pastor wins. We always do that. And then afterward, we'll dismiss, probably have a little lunch or whatever, depending on what time of day it is. But we should return by 5 or 6 o'clock. So Friday afternoon, Friday night, be back by about 6 o'clock to Saturday evening. Come and go with us. We have a great time. And if you're here and you say, Brother Fisher, I'd like to go, I will need to catch that bus or the van. If anybody is like that, let me know. Raise your hand. Say, I'd like to go. I may need that ride. All right, for men only there. Sister, I see your hand raised. You didn't hear me. Men and boys? All right. All right, very good. One hand over here. Make sure I get your name here, brother. All right, good. And then Ronnie possibly right here. So good. We got several that need a ride. Guys, if you'd like to go, again, most of you know where it's at. We meet in Rye Vista. Rio Vista, depends on where you're from, amen. But it's not far, probably about 40 miles, but a great place. It's at a state park, so it's got good facilities. We'll take up a far area of a campground, so we're pretty much by ourselves over there, and just have a good time. So that's this Friday. So if you don't have anything going on, plan to be with us. We'll have a great time. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. It's further on out. 916 is what it is. Yeah, 916. Uh-huh. there in Rye Vista. If you go there, got that water tower in Rye Vista, turn right on that 916, it'll take you down toward that area. It's where the river goes into Lake Whitney. I think it's the Brazos River. I'm not positive. I think it's the Brazos River goes into Lake Whitney. Anyway, that's this Friday, so plan to go with us. We'll have a great time. Also be praying for our Give It All Sunday. I know I failed to change that and correct that in our bulletin 3 weeks in a row. It is going to be planned to be held on the 17th of November. Okay, that's our big day. That's our goal. For everybody to be challenged to give their whole paycheck for that week's paycheck. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it works and God blesses. Normally every year around here we have a Happy Birthday Jesus offering. It's a big fundraiser that we do around Christmas time to help us out throughout the course of the following year. Our finances get very tight throughout the year with our summertime, the camps and different things that go on, and folks inevitably they go vacationing or whatever. Our income becomes very, very limited. So these things really help us to meet some financial needs in the upcoming year. And so we'd like to do that. And so I just ask you to be praying about that, and we'll have more on that. In November, we're going to focus in on stewardship. Stewardship. God's called us to be stewards, and it's of our time, of our talents or abilities, as well as our treasure, okay? And so we're looking at that. So that's in there. Let's see, choir practice, I guess normal time for this evening. Also, a youth rally coming up the 16th of November. That's that Saturday prior to the 17th of our Give It All, but that's on the 16th at the Lakeland Street Baptist Church. It's $3 per person, so be mindful of that, young people. They'll have a great time there. All right, Triumphant Voices concert. Let's see, that's what I needed. The fundraiser lunch today for the Triumphant Voices concert coming up, that is going to be right after church this morning. They've got food, man, all kind of good. Not only good food, but good smelling food. Amen. You're in trouble if you have Sunday school class over there like I was. Amen. But good food next door, and they're also going to be auctioning some pies and cakes and desserts and stuff. So all that will be taking place over there. All right. Now, let me remind you this time, too. Turn off your cell phones or put them on silent so that they do not come on. Amen. You don't want to be embarrassed by that. Some of the music on there. See, I didn't say a word. You preached to yourself, didn't you? All right, so turn those things off so that they don't happen. Amen. Miss Shortcake, good to see you this morning. Amen. Who's that hoodlum you got there with you? Amen. God bless you, Brother Joey. Good to see you. All right, let's sing another song. Let's stand together.
All right, grab your hymn book. Stand, turn to 196. Hymn number 196, I will sing the wondrous story. Of the Christ that died for me. Number 196. Here we go.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
On the second,
I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, drew his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered
sea. Amen. Good singing this morning. As the choir comes down, let's turn around and shake hands, greet one another. Hey, don't forget, 4:30.
Yes, sir.
And Miss Kim needs help.
preacher.
All right, as we make our way back to our seats, we'll have the ushers go ahead and come forward. We'll sing out on the last verse of hymn number 196. Get a couple more gentlemen up here to help take up the offering. All right, hymn number 196. We'll sing the last verse. Here we go.
He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Okay, here we go.
Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen. See if they were singing. They were singing pretty good over there. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that truly is a strength to us. It allows us to be able to look through the fog and the haze of this life which we struggle in. And God allows us to have just a great time in the midst of it, Lord God. It's not our circumstances are not our biggest problem, Lord God. The situation that we just need to see you in everything. And that gives us great ability and strength. Lord, I pray again that you'd meet with us in a mighty way. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And not only on me, but on our church family, dear God. Mold us. Melt us. Lord God, fill us and use us for your honor and for your glory, we pray. Bless now the offering. Help folks to give as unto the Lord, Lord, knowing you'll bless in return. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated.
And thank you, Miss Deborah. Brother Russell is going to come sing special this morning.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. Oh, patient Savior, you make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you? Lord, what can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher. Your grace still amazes me, and your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
All right. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ray. Amen. What a song. What a blessing. Amen. Get myself wired up here. Galatians. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3 this morning. Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. The lunch, the fundraiser luncheon going on after service is $5 per plate. And you're going to get plenty of food for that, okay? Food and drink, $5 per plate. And then it's up to $25. In other words, some of the families, you may have more than, if you have more than five there in your immediate home, your immediate family there, it's only up to $25. That'll be the most you pay. So that way it'll help some of those that may have a house full of youngins, amen, which is a good thing. But so it's $5 per person, up to $25 per family, okay? I've got a green light. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter number 3. You're already there. I'll begin reading in verse number 6. Amen. What a joy it is to be back. I enjoy I enjoy going places and preaching, but I certainly miss Longview Baptist Church, and I'm glad to be back. Good to see you here. All right. By the way, pray for others. Brother Steve Mayberry's in the hospital, and then a lot of the babies have been sick. Brother Nate's still kind of recovering, as well as little Cooper. Please pray for these children with all that's going around. God will strengthen their bodies, okay? And among others. Miss Lee is real bad sick this morning. I think Miss Teresa told me she's hurting this morning and physically got some issues there. So pray for one another. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said in verse 11, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? This morning, with the Lord's help, I want to draw your attention to a little three-word phrase presented to us out of verse number 9 in the form of a question. The Bible says they heard that the Bible says in verse number 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? Can you imagine the magnitude of these three words? Here, for the first time since creation, God had come by to enjoy the sweet fellowship with Adam and with Eve. And as He come to the garden this day, something was amiss, something was different. They did not come out to meet the Lord. They did not come out to greet Him. They didn't come out to see and to hear what He had to say. Adam and Eve found themselves in a most unusual, and I believe with all my heart, an uncomfortable position. For the first time, they literally feared God. Before this day, there was no fear of God, but sweet fellowship and communion. Before this day, they walked and talked with God. Them speaking with the Lord firsthand. The Lord teaching Adam and Eve and showing him the many wonders concerning His creation. In this state, in this form of existence, there was no war, there was no lack, there was no sickness, there was no strife. There was no hunger nor any thirst. Every need that they had was miraculously supplied. They never worried about anything. The joy and the peace and the great sense of provision as well as protection that they had in this place would be surpassed by no other time, not only in their existence, but any existence. I mean, everything in this place was perfect. And yet here they are. The Lord come to visit in the cool of the day to pick up with where they left off maybe the previous day, the previous visit. And the Lord has to ask, Where art thou? Where art thou? Adam, where art thou? No longer did they meet in the same place they had met with God before. No longer would they meet with God at the same time as they did before. No more excitement to be in the presence of Almighty God. Now, they're trying to keep His voice at a distance. The Bible said they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. Now, trying to keep His voice at a distance. Now, afraid of what God might do or what God might say to them. Now, literally hiding from the Lord. You know, as I think on this scriptural event, I cannot help but consider countless believers in the day and age in which we live. Countless believers throughout all ages that through various events of life, misdirected or misguided decision making, deception, whether it be deceived by the world or by Satan or by their own flesh, various forms and times of stubbornness and pride, or maybe just through the process of time, have had themselves or found themselves in a place where they heard God's voice at a distance saying, "Where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou?" Now your faith has been somewhat defeated. Adam here, obviously, he had to run and got away from God. Now that faith has been defeated. That fellowship has been diminished. I think about Peter, who the Bible says he followed afar off. Now that sweet fellowship you once had with God has been destroyed. And as far as being fruitful in your life, there's no way. All fruitfulness has been abandoned. And though you hear His voice, yours is one of trying to hide from His presence. Let me ask you today, can you hear Him calling? Where art thou? Where art thou? Adam, where art thou? The way the word Adam, you know, literally means man. Man. He was the first man, the first Adam, man. God is calling to us as His children. Men, where art thou? Men, where art thou? Ladies, where art thou? Children, where art thou? The old song called years ago, I remember the Brady singing it, called "A Small Lonely Hill." And he goes, "Late one evening, God came to the garden." Yeah. Adam? Adam! Adam, where art thou? The birds hushed their singing. In the garden there was silence. You could sense it. Something had died. Morning, I want to give you some truths concerning the question from God Almighty. Where art thou? Where art thou? Let me say in the outset something that hopefully you already understand when you read this passage here, and that is God knew exactly where Adam was. And for you today, and you hear His voice saying, "Where art thou?" Don't you think for a minute God does not know exactly where you are. God knows where you are because of His omnipresence. God can be everywhere in every time. There is no past, there is no future with God. It is always present. And when it comes to you and God asking you and you hearing His voice saying, "Where art thou?" Don't you think for a minute that God cannot see you. God knew exactly where Adam was, and God knows exactly where you are, not only physically through His omnipresence, but mentally and spiritually and emotionally through His omniscience. God knows everything. God knows your heart. So Sometimes we boast of that. Well, God knows my heart. I'm telling you right now, that ought to scare you to death. God does know our hearts. And the Bible says of our hearts that it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knew exactly where Adam was, and God knows exactly where we are, physically and emotionally and spiritually. That being said, I've got two truths, and we'll be done this morning. Two truths about God having to ask this question, where art thou? Where art thou? Could you answer God this morning if he was to ask you, where art thou? Let me give you truth number one. Number one. When God asks the question, where art thou? It is a question of indication. It's a question of indication. What is it indicating? There's been a change. There's been a change. God has to ask the question, where art thou? It's indicating that somebody has moved. And God doesn't move. Adam, where art thou? It's an indication from God. Adam, you're not where you were. You're not where you were. Where art thou? It's a question of indication. The word indication speaks, it is an act of pointing out something. It is from God. It is extended from the Lord. This question is extended not for God's benefit, but for ours. When God asks the question, where art thou? It is that we might review our steps in hopes of determining what happened to cause us this distancing ourselves from God. Adam, whenever Adam was all hiding himself behind the trees in the garden, and the voice of the Lord came through and he heard God say, Adam, where art thou? He was hoping that Adam would then look at himself and take inventory of himself and think through the process of time that brought him to that place where he'd gotten away from God. It's a question of indication. God knew exactly where Adam was. Remember, it's not for his benefit. It was solely for Adam's benefit that Adam would look at himself and try to determine why he's not where he once was. Where art thou? Where art thou? Adam, in verse number 10, we see his response. He said, God said, Adam, where art thou? Verse number 9. Verse 10, we see Adam's response. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam responded beautifully to God's question concerning where he was. Had God not asked Adam where he was, we don't know. He may have never come to the place where he could confront God and be confronted, to confront God and be able to have the opportunity to confess what he's done. God, in his grace and mercy, did not allow him to continue on. Instead, ask the question, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Christian, this morning, God is asking you the question, where art thou? And it's a question of indication. Have you drifted since the time that you first met the Lord? Since the time that you had a walk with Him? Since the time you surrendered to His will? And all the peace and the love and the joy and the contentment, it was all right there just like in the Garden of Eden. But now the Lord has to ask you the question, where art thou? It's a question of indication. You've moved. You've moved. Adam, the Bible says, responded to the Lord there in verse number 10. He said, I hid myself. Verse 11, he said, God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. And no better words could be spoken by Adam than right here. And I did eat. And I did eat. I did it, Lord. It was me. I'm sorry. I ate it. I'm confessing it. And that's what happened when that indication of moving that Adam could examine his life. He come to this conclusion. I ate of that fruit that I should not have. Because of that, I'm right where I'm at, hiding from God. It's a question of indication. God is telling Adam, because remember, God knew where Adam was. Adam needed to evaluate where he was. Christian, it does us good to evaluate where we are in our Christian walk. Eve, the same thing. The Bible says in verse 13, when he said, when Adam said, the woman gave me that fruit and I did eat, the Bible says, the Lord said unto the woman, what hast thou done? Or what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Hear these words. I did eat. It's confession. When God has to ask the question, where art thou? It is a question of indication. You've moved. You've moved. I wonder if there's some in here this morning that could hear the voice of God as He calls out, where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou in your church faithfulness? Where art thou in your daily devotions? You walk with God. Where art thou when it comes to spirit leadership? Where art thou when it comes to laboring in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where art thou? One time you were faithful to God's house. At one time you were faithful in His Word. At one time you had a daily walk and you allowed the Spirit of God to lead you. At one time you were involved in the work of the ministry and serving God with everything about you. But now the question is, where art thou? It's an indication that you've moved. You've moved. Adam here at one time, I'm telling you, before he walked with God daily. He communed with God. His fellowship was sweet with God. He talked to Him as man to man. But something had happened. It caused Adam to hear His voice and to be afraid and then to go hide himself. Where art thou? Where art thou? I believe it indicates several things. First of all, it's an indication of where we are. And probably more importantly, where we are not. When God has to ask you the question, where art thou? It's an indication of where you are. Or more importantly, where you are not. Previous, Adam would be right there with God. It was strange. I believe it was strange because the Bible records that he went and hid himself. And the fact that God had to call for him, that was strange. So it's an indication of where you are, where we are. Secondly, it's an indication as we examine where did the influence come from that led to this place. Here he allowed his emotions, his love for Eve to direct his decisions. Well, it's real easy to sit back and blame the woman. The Bible says the woman was deceived in the transgression, but the man was not deceived. So that tells me that Adam made a conscious decision to eat that fruit. And he allowed his emotions for his bride, for his wife, to influence his decision to do what he did. In this indication, that's what he said. The woman, she gave me of the fruit and I did eat. But this calling to him allowed him to to see where he was and examine who influenced him. And then thirdly, to determine what he did. I did eat. And then fourthly, it's an indication not only of where we are, not only of who influenced us, not only of what we did, but also gets into our motivations, why we did it. I believe Eve, the Bible says, was deceived. We know the message there, the words of the serpent there in those first few verses of chapter 3, but it wasn't the case with Adam. Adam loved his wife. I believe Adam thought, well, you know the Bible says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I remember an old preacher out of Greenville, South Carolina, preached. I forget his name there at the old Tabernacle Baptist Church there in Greenville, but he said Adam made a conscious decision to die rather than live without Eve. Right. That's love, amen. Adam knew. The Bible said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he made a conscious decision to rather die than to live without his bride. He gave his life. So when God asks the questions, where art thou? It's an indication. It's a question of indication to point out what happened that led us to where we are. And when we start doing that, we'll see where we are. We'll take note of our influences that allowed us to be at this place. We'll examine what we did as well as why we did it. You will, in this position, stop blaming other people for your decisions. We've got to get to the point where we stop blaming other people for our decisions. Who's with me? We've got to do that. These things, these steps which led us to this place of being distanced from God, hiding from God, where God has to ask us where we are, the steps where we're recognizing it's an indication that they're there. The steps which led us to the place where we have lacking faith. Where we lack faith. Where we've left our first love. Where we're absolutely halted because we've lost our vision. This question concerning where art thou, first of all, is a question of indication. Something has happened. But not only that. Secondly, it is a question of invitation. When God asks where you are, it's not just so you can see where you are. It's not just so you to see where you are. When God asks, where art thou? He's inviting you back. Amen. He's inviting you to come back. God didn't care about Adam, he would have never gone and said, Adam, where art thou? God didn't care about his crowning creation, if you will, the man. If God didn't care, he would have never went back. Would have just said, let them go on and destroy themselves and I'll start all over. But God does care and God does love you. And God will always try to call you back to a relationship with him. It is a question of invitation. Since where art thou is not for God's benefit, then it must be for ours. And when he asks, where art thou? It is with the hope that we might confront the issues of our past so that the joy, the peace, and the sweet fellowship might return. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. When I think about God going to Adam and saying, Adam, where art thou? I think, first of all, it's an invitation to experience conviction. I wonder how afraid they were before they heard the voice of God. They knew something had happened. No doubt they felt different. But the Bible tells us that when they heard the voice of God, the Bible says, I heard the voice. Then I was afraid. That's conviction. Where art thou? Oh my goodness, that's the Lord. Feeling that conviction. You ever wonder why we don't like to be in the silence? Got to have the television turned up, radio turned up. Got to be in the midst of people. What about getting in the quiet? We're not comfortable in the quiet. Might it be because we're like Adam in this situation? We're trying to get away from that voice of the Lord that brings us such conviction and causes us to hide amongst the trees of our garden. It's an invitation for conviction. Where art thou? Oh my, that's the Lord again. Not only is it an invitation for conviction, but secondly, it's an invitation for confession. For confession. It's, Lord, you know what I've done. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I let you down. Lord, forgive me. Where art thou? Reminds us of the working of God bringing conviction. But it also speaks to an opportunity or an invitation for confession. Confession. Now he's no longer in God's presence. He's afraid of the Lord because of sin. He's distanced himself and he's lost that fellowship. But God's given him an opportunity. It's an invitation to feel a conviction and for confession. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Adam experienced that firsthand. But he could not experience that until, first of all, the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? Oh, there's the voice of the Lord. God, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. Not only invitation for conviction, an invitation for confession, but thirdly, it's an invitation for conversion. Conversion. You know, the Bible says there that they, verse number 7 says, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That was the condition of man, trying to cover their sins. The Bible tells us there in verse number 21 says, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed. Coats of skin and clothed them. That's conversion. God says, man, I'm not going to leave you in that case. I'm not going to leave you in that place where you have to do the best you can to make yourself presentable to me because of your conviction and because of confession. I'm going to cover you in a way that's going to, I'm going to show you my plan for redemption through the blood of the Lamb of God. God sacrificed an animal, took those skins. Before that time, nothing had ever had to die. No blood had ever had to be shed. But there it was. Something had to die for that which was innocent. But it all began with that great question from the Lord to Adam, wayward creation. Where art thou? It was an indication. And it was an invitation. As I begin to draw to a close this morning, let me ask you this question. Has God in the past ever had to ask you the question, where art thou? Let me ask you this question. Is God asking you that today? Where art thou? Where art thou? There are those in God's Word that have had to ask, that have had to be asked, where art thou? Think about various soldiers. God said, I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap, but he said, I found none. Where art thou? I think about David, who in a time of war stayed behind, and we know it led to a lot of problems in his life. Where art thou in that time of war? Think about Peter who declared, Lord, though everybody should flee, I am ready to die for you. Now following afar off, Peter, where art thou? Jonah, God gave him the direction to go to Tarshish and preach the word of God there and said he took go to Nineveh. Instead he took a boat to Tarshish. Jonah, where art thou? Gideon hiding himself in fear of the Midianites and Demas, the Bible says, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Where art thou? Where art thou when it comes to the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where art thou? Where art thou? But then secondly, what about where art thou when it comes to souls being born again? Souls being saved. And I want to close with this warning tonight in Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13. In Revelation chapter 13, there in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him." And he's talking about here, talking about that Antichrist, the beast, if you will. Having verse number 1, he said, "Seven heads, 10 horns upon the horns, 10 crowns upon his head, the name blasphemy," verse 2, "and the beast which I saw was like a leopard," and so forth. He's talking about this beast. At the end of the days, the Bible says in verse number 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names," watch this, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When it comes to that book that God possesses, that has the names of the children of God that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we ask you, will God have to ask the question, "Where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou because you've not trusted Christ? Where art thou because you've not believed in the name of Jesus Christ? Where art thou because you passed opportunities to be born again? Where art thou?" Here he said that all of those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Any man hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. God has invited all of creation to come to Jesus Christ. The grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse any sinner from sin. But you've got to come. You've got to receive. You've got to make a decision. And there are those, once you make the decision, I believe, according to this word, there is a record of those in the Lamb's book of life that have believed on Him. If not, they're going to be part of this blasphemous activity. Why is that important to have your name there? Because in Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible says in verse number 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The Bible says plural form books. I don't know what books they might be. I like to believe one of them is going to be the blessed Word of God. We're going to be held accountable to how we submitted to His will according to His Word. One of those, I believe, because of what I just read, will be those that have been born again, those that have been redeemed. Here we say the books were open. The Bible says another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And who was that? Who was in that number that was cast in the lake of fire? Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Was cast in the lake of fire. Listen, without a doubt, of all these other areas, we don't want to miss. We don't want to distance ourselves from God. We don't want to hear Him say, "Where art thou?" in so many areas of our life. But listen to me, friend of mine. When it comes to your name being written down in the Lamb's book of life, you certainly don't want to have to hear Him say, "Where art thou?" Now, God knows everything. It's an indication. It's an indication for you to examine where you are. And you may find that you've never been born again. And because of that, your name's not been written in the Lamb's book of life. But not only is that question an indication, it's an invitation. God wouldn't challenge you concerning your eternal destiny without there being the purpose that you might come and get right with Him. Come and be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a great religious man, you must be born again. If you're here this morning and you're unsure that heaven will be your home, if you're unsure that your sins have been washed in His blood, I beg you today, come, come, so that in that great day, you'll not have to hear Him say, where art thou? Where art thou? But you can have everlasting life. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed.